Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Mark Greeny, who is, we all know him from the Court Gentry books, the Gray Man series, but he is out with his brand new standalone novel, Red Metal, which he co-wrote with Lieutenant Colonel H. Ripley Rawlings IV. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Mark, you ventured off into having a co-writer for this book, and I know we get used to your Gray Man books coming out every year, but what's that like to take a respite from writing the Gray Man series to writing this standalone novel, not just by yourself, but with a co-author?
Well, it's a very different animal. The book itself is very different from my Gray Man. This is more of a military thriller and a little less of an espionage thriller. But also, as you said, working with someone else is a different experience. I met Rip at the Pentagon several years ago when I was working on a Tom Clancy book. And he's a very interesting guy. He's a writer. We just started bouncing ideas back and forth off of each other. And then it became, you know, a couple years of that, emails back and forth and going out and seeing each other. It was just the most interesting thing that I had going on. I was working on these other books, but I kept thinking about he and I doing something together. So I said, hey, I could probably go get us a book deal. And he's like, sure, why not? And then it took us about 2 years to actually write the book.
Well, it seems like an author of your caliber, you're doing research, you've got to have people all the time telling you about ideas they have for books and that they'd really love to write a book with you. How do you know that Rip was the right guy at the right time for you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, I kind of worry I'm going to go out on this book tour and it's going to make more people come up with, you know, with ideas. Ideas are the coin of the realm in this job, but at the same time, as a writer, you're always passionate about something that you want to write, and the thing after that, and the thing after that. But when I met Rip, I guess if it started out with him trying to get me to write this book, I might have been a little more reluctant. But after we talked about ideas for, you know, such a long time, I think I was the one that sort of said, you know, we can make this happen. And then as soon as I said that, he presented me with all these ideas for like a battle plan that would happen in the story. And then we just started working on the narrative. So normally my answer for that is I can't do it just because I have so much else to do. But you know, I became really good friends with Rip, and this just became something we had to do.
Well, the story is basically a West versus East, West versus Russia, I guess, World War III novel set in the not-so-distant future. But that term World War III gets thrown around so much all the time, I think it becomes meaningless just in everyday conversation. People said Trump was going to start World War III when he became elected, or, you know, a fight at a house is going to start World War III. I don't think people actually know what it means. So kind of set up the axis of how this all worked in the book.
I thought it would be interesting that something will kick off, you know, the next major conflict, as is always the case. You know, there's a lot of conflagration and things get, you know, saber rattling or whatever, but there's always sort of something that kicks off any military conflict. So for this one, we have a rare earth mineral mine in Africa that Russia has control of, but loses control of, and then they realize pretty quickly. The leader of Russia realizes pretty quickly that his entire personal fortune, his entire political fortunes, and the success of his nation, because these rare earth minerals are used to create all technology products or whatever. And he decides he wants to get that back by hook or by crook. And so instead of just going down to Africa to try to fight for it back, where the United States has a lot of contacts and ties or whatever, he decides to do a spearhead into Europe to eliminate a lot of U.S. command and control, as well as a spearhead into Africa. So it's a world war. In this book, also Asia is mentioned quite a bit, and there's all sorts of different theaters in the story. It's not a world war with nuclear weapons, but there is definitely the threat that nukes will kick off at any time.
I also thought it was interesting. If we ever had another world war, we probably wouldn't call it world war at the time, but it's always something that happens in history. Is that kind of how you think about it?
Right, exactly. Well, and that's been the case before. You know, World War I was the Great War until there was a World War II. If you number it, it kind of presupposes that it's going to keep going, which it does. But yeah, I would think that, you know, they would call it whatever they would call it while it happened, and then only later would they look back and say, yeah, this was another of the big ones.
Working with somebody like Rip, who's active duty in the Pentagon, I know he's getting out of the service here pretty soon, but he's got to have a lot of the security clearance issue to deal with when he puts ideas in for a book. So how did that work as far as working with an active duty military person?
he reached out. He went through the process of getting them to sort of bless what he was working on. There's definitely nothing classified in there. A lot of times I would ask Rip a question, and he'd sort of start. If you meet Rip, you'd understand. He's very, very careful about these things, and he'd start a lot of answers with, "Well, I can give you the non-classified version." And I also had to sort of worry about if I would come up with something that hit too close to home for him, that he wanted to change. And I honestly don't remember that happening, but again, this book was written over a couple of years, so it very well might have. But yeah, no, he's super careful to keep it, in the non-classified realm. But it's so fascinating what you can go out and find in open source. I learned that, writing on my own. And now to have somebody that not only do I have all my open source information, but I have someone who's a fountain of knowledge, it's very helpful.
What is this situation where the Pentagon's PR people or the public affairs people read this manuscript before it's actually released?
In our case, they didn't have to. It's a work of fiction, and basically, Rip will go to prison if there's classified information in there. And so they basically, he talked to them about it and what he needed to do and not do, and we just went accordingly. I have seen where some former military people do have to, do send theirs through to get vetted, but Rip didn't have to do it. He has all the clearances and read and access and everything that anybody else would, as a senior military officer. But he's just not allowed to put anything classified in it.
Well, and this whole idea of classified material kind of seems like such a nebulous. I mean, is there a bright line? You're into this more than I would be, but is there a bright line that no, this is classified, no, this isn't? Or you can probably touch on something in fiction and not realize it.
Oh, absolutely, and I've run into that so many times. I remember I was out at the Fifth Fleet in San Diego doing some research a few years ago, and I was talking with a young officer there, and I would ask him a question, and he looked like he was about to, be sick to his stomach. He would immediately like grab his phone and then look it up and see if it was open, see if it was out there in the news, and then he would only answer accordingly. So I think there is a fine line on their side. I was talking to another officer once, and he kept telling me, he's like, okay, so this is non-classified, and then he'd tell me something, and he'd say, this is non-classified, and finally I was like, just so you know, I'm not the guy that cares if it's classified or not. That's the other side of this. But, and everybody's pretty careful, and they seem to understand, what they can and cannot say.
I'm chatting with Mark Greeny about his brand new novel, Red Metal. It's one he co-wrote with Lieutenant Colonel Hunter Rawlings, Hunter Rawlings IV, known as Rip, and it's available now wherever your fine books are sold. I know that you're working on another Gray Man novel, and I talked to Ace Atkins a week or so ago, and I was talking to him about having to write while he is out on tour. You're on a book tour now, but you've also got a deadline coming up, so you're kind of going against the grain with this, right?
Wow, that is all I am thinking about today and for the next couple of weeks. Yeah, I have a book due August 1st, and between now and then, I'm pretty much on the road most days. I'm home right now, but just for two nights, and then I'm back out at it again. So yeah, it's tough. I'll be writing on a lot of airplanes, and I'm a big guy, so writing on airplanes isn't that comfortable for me. But, it's crunch time, and I'll get it done, and I'm pretty close to the end, and I'm excited about the next book.
Is that a deal where, it looks great when you schedule all this stuff, but as it gets closer, you think, wow, I probably should have thought this out better?
Yeah, and it's even worse than that, because you have an initial due date of the book, and you sort of know you can fudge it a little bit and turn it in a little bit later. But, I looked at the calendar and be like, all right, it definitely has to be in by July 16th, because that's when I go out on tour, and here we are. It's time to go back out on tour, and they gave me a couple week extension because I'm pretty close to the end, but not quite there. So yeah, I created this mess myself.
Well, then it's got to be a weird feeling that people are already buying it and it's not even done.
Yes, and that's the case with all my books. And when I first started working with Tom Clancy, I was just pulling my hair out because there would be a book that we wouldn't even have begun on. And they would have the cover art, and it would be up on Amazon. it puts a little extra fire under you to get the job done, because you're looking at the cover of this book that, the front cover is done, but all the pages on the inside, which are actually pretty important, those haven't been done yet.
How did you guys actually physically do this book? Were you ever in the same location?
Absolutely, we were. This was probably a strange collaboration in that, like I told him from the beginning, I said, this isn't us doing 50-50 or 60-40. this is, we're both 100% responsible for every word in this book. So that makes it a lot harder. he would write and I would write. Now he's been on deployments and he's been all over the world, but he lives in DC and I go up to DC and see him all the time. We've seen each other. We went to Nellis Air Force Base together to do some research. We went to Germany together. He went to France. I went to Poland. So we were together for hundreds of hours and then in contact back and forth, sending each other pages all the time. So it was a true collaboration in that if I picked that book open right now and read a paragraph, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you if I wrote it or if he wrote it.
Well, did it take Rip a while to get to the point where he could criticize something or give you constructive criticism? Because here, you're a famous published author. He's not. What's that personality like?
Wow, that's a good question. I hadn't even thought about that. He's also a Marine military officer, so he's pretty good at conveying what he believes. You know, we spent most of a year, I guess, creating an outline for it before we started writing, and so that's where we started hashing out things. Where he says, you know, I think these guys should go via train, and I would say, I don't know that we can sell the train. I think it should go via, you know, some sort of convoy or something, and you know, it'd be back and forth. And, you know, he won most of the military battles, and I probably won a lot of the literary or narrative battles in the story, but certainly not exclusively. He would send me pages, and it wasn't just good military information. It was just really creative, really well-written, great characterizations and all that. So it made my job easier. It's a tough job because you do have to write with one voice. So every word that came from him, I had to sort of, like, meld it in with my stuff. But at the same time, you know, it was a great opportunity to work with him, and I don't think he was really that scared to let me know what he thought.
You mentioned going to Poland. You have a female Polish character in here. In fact, there's a lot of female characters in here. Two guys writing female characters, especially military and officer type, what's that idea? How's that idea get into your head that you can write in this female voice?
We never discussed it from the beginning of, like, which characters would be male or female, or, you know, we didn't set out to become, you know, feminist icons with you know, making some sort of a statement. Rip and I both agreed as we talked about it, as the story, you know, began to flow and we did have all these female characters, that he's met probably tens of thousands and I met dozens of, you know, just really great, just incredibly talented females in the military. And I think they've sort of gotten short shrift in this sort of a book before. So, you know, we didn't say, okay, this Apache pilot has to be a female or this submarine commander has to be a female. It just sort of worked out that way. And the character Paulina that you mentioned from Poland, she's just a coffee shop employee that wants to save money for a car. So she joins a little weekend warrior territorial defense force group. She's completely untrained, but she finds herself in the center of this maelstrom. And that was important to us. We didn't want to write a book where everybody was in the military and everybody was gung-ho about this. There's a lot of people who want no part to do with this conflict that happens in the book.
All right, the book is Red Metal by Mark Greaney and Lieutenant Colonel H. Ripley Rawlings IV, known as Rip. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. There'll be another Gray Man novel from Mark coming out early in the winter of next year, like February, I believe. But Mark, this is just right. A fantastic offering, and I'm sure a nice respite from you from Gray Man, but I'll let you get back to work on the new Gray Man book now.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Enjoy talking to you.
All right, see ya.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.